All right, let's ask a blessing. Father, we just right now, we just want to come to you and we thank you and praise you for all that you do. But right now, we just want to lift up your word and ask that you bless it. Lord, teach us. Lord, may we never take this opportunity for granted that you have blessed us to come back into your house again today. Lord, to hear what you have for us. I thank you for what I've already learned in this study this week. In your name we pray. Amen. We are going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 mainly, but I'm going to go back and read a verse or two out of chapter 4. This is one of those passages that sometimes you hear them at funerals, but the more you, I think if you dig into it, I think it's more for us as a daily reminder, I think. And so I'm going to back up and start in verse 16 of chapter 4. It says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And that is, we went over that before on Sunday nights, but this is the part I want to get to tonight. "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. For therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your conscience." As we read this passage tonight, like I said, I don't know, I've heard it preached, I've preached it at funerals, talking about to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and that's true, and that's a confidence, that's a comfort to know at a funeral when that takes place, that if a person has a relationship with Jesus Christ, that the minute that they die, their soul is ushered into heaven, and their body is buried in the ground, and then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it tells us that they will meet again, body and soul, when Christ comes back and the dead in Christ will rise and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so we'll be with Him forever. And so at that time, our bodies will be brought back together with our soul, but we'll be given a new body, a resurrected body, one that's put off mortality, then we'll live eternally. But that's not here yet. And so we look at this passage not just as a funeral passage looking for that hope and that comfort, but there's something in this that I want us to look at tonight, because I think it's something that we need to motivate us to live the life that God has called us to live. And we are trying to do that. We are living the life that we feel like God is calling us to live, but are you satisfied you're doing everything He's called you to do? I don't think we are. I mean, we feel better, like we talked in men's Bible study. I'm doing better than I did yesterday, but maybe I'm praying I'll do better tomorrow. type of a deal. It's a constant change. And so as we look at this passage, we've talked about chapter 4 before on Sunday nights about that our light affliction, which is but for a moment. I know a lot of times we don't think it's very light. There's times when I think it's pretty heavy. We go through things in this life that seem like they are just wearing us down. They're bringing us to that breaking point. And generally when that happens, we need to be broken. But in comparison, everything you and I are facing today is considered light compared to the reward that one day you will have when you stand in glory. And so it's got that as a reference right before this. We know that what we're facing right now, you know, it is trouble. It is an affliction. It tells us it's not good. That's what the affliction means. But we don't look at that. We look beyond that. Now, sometimes you and I have a tendency to look at that. We look at that affliction. I look at that trouble and think, man, wouldn't it be so much easier to minister for God if this affliction, if this thorn wasn't in my side, if I didn't have this problem, wouldn't it be so much easier to have a positive attitude and to glorify God so much more, and people just see me bouncing off the walls, praising God all the time, instead of thinking about this thorn in my side or this uphill climb or whatever. And so sometimes we take our eyes off of the things which are not seen and we put them on the things which are seen. And that's just the opposite of what that verse tells us to do. And so chapter 5 is reflecting on that. It says, for we know that our earthly house, this body we live in, it calls it a tent. A tent, if you're going to go out, my son just got off the Appalachian Trail not too long ago. They walked 800 miles. They slept in a tent pretty much most of the time. Terrible weather, bad weather, good weather. They slept in a tent. And since they've been back, they're in Colorado now, they still go out and sleep in a tent. It's like, why would you do that? But they do. They go back and they love staying in tents. They like camping out, and that's just them. That's not me. I don't do that. But it's referring to this body as a tent. And there are a lot of people that are satisfied living in this body, living in this tent. But there is going to come a time when I'm not going to have to live in this body that my tent has a lot of holes in it. It's been abused by the weather. It's been abused by the storms. It's been abused by life. And I think you can all feel the same way. But it says that this earthly house, this tent, we know that if it's destroyed. And I wondered about that phrasing, because most of them are going to be destroyed. Unless Christ comes back, unless that trumpet sounds and that sky splits, eventually I'm going to pass away. And so that is the idea that this body is going to be destroyed unless Christ comes back before that time. But it says if it's destroyed, if this tent that we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God. Now get this, it goes from a tent to a building. It goes from something that there's no insulation. It's just, how would you want to live in a tent every day of your life? To having a building. We're going to go from this life that, you know, I love my life. I wouldn't change it. But it's a tent compared to the building that's from God. And it's not a building as we understand it, made of hands. It's made by God Himself. And it's eternal. It's unending. And it's in the heavens. We don't think about that a lot. We just know that when we pass on, God, we know the Scripture has told us that God's going to give us a new eternal body, a resurrected body that will last forever. No more aches and pains, no more death, no more dying. And that's what we think about. But I want us tonight to look at this body, and I think we need to sometimes look ahead. Now, there are people who say, oh, you can be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. You've heard that before. But I think sometimes as Christians, we're not heavenly minded enough because my focus, my eyes are on the things that are seen. But here he's saying, it is eternal in the heavens. Now, this next verse, I think it was written with me in mind. For in this we groan. I groan a lot. I complain a lot. We do, but I don't think that's exactly what this verse is talking about. It says that we groan earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. I just do the groaning part. But it says we should groan, we should desire, we should come to the point of just, all I can think of, and you're going to think I'm silly here, but my dog, when he goes to bed at night, he taps me two or three times or taps Donna to cover him up. He'll walk up and he'll stare at you and he'll look at you, and then if you don't do anything, he'll tap you. And then he'll look at you again, and you sit there and he'll tap. And he will do it until you cover him up. 32 times one night he outlasted me. I was going to make him quit. I counted 32 times before I give up because he was going to go all night. But what he does is as soon as you cover him up, it's like, oh, and he's done. It's just this groan of, man, I've been waiting on this. I've been waiting on this to happen. And what it says here, it says, for this groan, we earnestly desire that habitation that God has for us. Do you desire that? We know it's there. We know it's coming. We know it's a promise from God that He's going to do that. He's going to give us that. And it's going to tell us in a minute that He's already given us a guarantee. But do we desire that? And I thought about that this week because so many times we love our life. We love what we're going through. But, man, think about what it's going to be like. When we get to heaven and we spend eternity with Christ and we are at the feet of Jesus and we have blessings that no mind can comprehend at this time. And we don't even desire that. We just know it's going to be nice. And we kind of look forward to it. But do you desire it? And the way I look at this is, those of you that have been teachers or are teachers, you know that the end of school is coming. And you can look forward to it. But man, if you've been teaching all year, you desire that last day of school. You don't just look forward to it. Man, I can't wait till it gets here. Do we have that attitude about going to heaven? We know that the blessing is there, but do we desire it? Because I think if you desire it, there was a teacher earlier this year, she retired at the end of the year, and she was planning weeks in advance. I know what shirt I'm wearing the last day. I know what shirt I'm going to wear the last day. I retired under new management, check with my grandkids, something along that line. And she was so excited, so looking forward to it, that she began to tell people. We were in line at a food truck, and she was telling me this. She was telling us this, that that's what she's looking forward to. She was so desiring that day that she wanted everybody to know. And when you and I start desiring heaven so much that we start telling everybody, you got to know what's ahead for me. I am going to get rid of these bow legs, this hip that hurts, the eyes that can't see, the ears that can't hear. I'm going to get rid of all of that. And I'm going to spend eternity in heaven with my Lord because He sent His Son to die for me. And I want to look so forward to that, that's my main topic. I want to look forward to that. And I think sometimes we miss out that type of witnessing. We think about witnessing to somebody by sharing Jesus Christ with them. And we should. But we miss out on that idea of them just seeing the light of Jesus Christ in us. The excitement of the day that sky breaks open and we're going to go to heaven, they don't see that excitement in us. They're plugging along. They're doing good because they have that faith that they tell me about. They have that hope in Jesus Christ. But man, they just seem like they're plugging along. Man, I want them to see that I'm excited about what's going to happen. I want them to see that I am so excited, so desirable of that day when Christ changes me into that person He wants me to be. When I stand before Him and I am set to where He wants me to be, I want people to see that desire in me today. That's the type of groaning that we're supposed to have. Not the complaining type, but the type that, man, I just can't wait for this to happen. And so we groan for that to happen. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. And it's not like it's talking about the in this body versus out of this body. That's what it's talking to when it talks about being naked and separated from this body when we go to be with the Lord. That's what it's talking about. And they weren't saying, I want that stage of, there's that living in the mortal body, which is stage one. And then there's stage two, which is that at death when the spirit separates from the body and goes to be with the Lord. And then there's that stage three when God calls them back together. That's those three stages. And He's saying, I'm not really desiring stage one. And I'm not really desiring to be separated from the body. I can't wait till the day it all comes together. That's what He's saying. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be separated, unclothed from our body. We're not looking forward so much as that as we are to the further clothing of the mortality that is swallowed up by life. When God brings it all together, everything He's planned from the beginning of creation, it's coming together when He brings it all at that point. In 5 it says, now He who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. We can read in here and we can understand what the Scripture tells us. It says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And at the, you know, in 1 Thessalonians where we talked about that, where at that time when the trumpet sounds, and we'll rise and we'll come together and it'll all be brought together as God wanted. We can read about that. We can talk about that. We know that. But the reason we know that is because He's given us a guarantee. Because the Holy Spirit that is in us is that guarantee that says, hey, when you accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit was given to us to indwell us as Christians, and that's a guarantee that that's all going to come together. That's what He's talking about. He's already given us that guarantee, saying when God says this will happen, it's the same as saying it's already happened. So He's given us that Spirit that is a guarantee that one day they will all come together. Verse 6, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And as He's writing here, as Paul's writing to the Corinthians, He's telling them, you know, we know that while we're here with you, while we're here in the body, while we're alive on the face of the earth, we're not with the Lord. Says we know that. But 7 says, but we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. He said, a lot of people don't look forward to death. He says, but we're okay with it. Because we know that the moment we die, we're going to go to be with the Lord. That's what He's saying. 9, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. thought about that. There's several things here that it's going to lead to. We'll go ahead and jump to this. He wants us to believe, whether we're present or whether we're in heaven with Him, our spirit's in heaven with Him, the goal is to be pleasing to Him. The goal is to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we hear about that all the time. We know that there's going to be the great white throne judgment where no one will be saved. That's for the lost, those that have rejected Jesus Christ. And we know that's going to take place. But this one that we also know is going to take place is the judgment seat of Christ. We know that we're facing all these things that we've just talked about. Looking at the things here versus looking at the things unseen. Looking about the fact that one day we're going to be reunited with our life. And all of these things are true. And then after that takes place, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. How do you prepare for that? Well, of course, you're saved, right? That's how you prepare for the judgment seat of Christ. Yes. But how does preparing for the judgment seat of Christ affect your day tomorrow? How does it affect your day the next day? Because if it's all about just being saved, then there's some other things in here that we need to look at. So how do we prepare for that judgment seat of Christ that He says we're all gonna stand before it? All Christians are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. One, He tells us, what do you got to do in verse 7? You have to walk by faith. That doesn't just say, oh, have faith in Jesus. That says walk by faith. There are a lot of people out there that claim to be Christians. They have a faith in Jesus Christ. They have an understanding of what He's done for them, and they've accepted that. But do they walk their daily life by faith? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But He goes beyond that here, I believe, and He says, if you want to be ready for the judgment seat of Christ, you better be walking by faith. Because if we turn the page, it says, each one of us may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. That's talking about us. That's talking about when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I am going to be held accountable for the things I do in this body, the things that God has given me, whether I've done good or bad, I'm going to be held responsible. So I better walk by faith. And that's not just by walking, believing in what happened, what Jesus did on the cross. I'm taking nothing away from that, but He says to walk by faith. It means that my life has to depend on my relationship with Jesus Christ. As I walk through my life, that has to center around and depend on my faith in Jesus. I have to walk by faith if I'm going to be ready for the judgment seat of Christ. Second thing, I have to develop a longing for heaven. It says in verse 8, we are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. He was confident. He was anticipating. He was looking forward to being in heaven. He was longing to be in heaven. When do we long to be in heaven? Think about that for just a minute. You don't have to answer, but think about that. When do we really long to be in heaven? When life's getting us down? When we miss somebody that has gone on before us? But on a daily basis, do you long for heaven? Do you long to be in heaven with Christ? Or are you content to be here? I know that we have to be here for a certain time. And like Paul has said, you know, to be here is for you, but I would much rather be with God. I think sometimes we're too satisfied with being here when He wants us to be looking at longing for the presence of the Lord. Develop that longing for heaven. Because if I develop that longing for heaven right now, the way I'm living, it's going to change. It's going to be focused on Jesus Christ because I'm wanting to please Him. That's the next one. Make it our chief aim, verse 9, to please the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim to please Him. Now, this one, we might come close to doing this one. We want to please God. And we do things in our life to please Him. And we would hope that that's our number one goal. But when you tie it in with this next one, and that's in verse 10, keep the judgment seat of Christ in view. If you know you're going to be held accountable for something, we were talking about it in men's Bible study. We used to have a Bible study years ago, that I went to, and I've talked about this before. When you knew you were going to be held accountable with these five questions or with what you had done with your life for God as a husband, as a father, you know, as a Christian in the church, if you knew you were going to be held accountable, did it change you? It kept it in your forethought of how you lived. If you get up every morning and you think, the judgment seat of Christ is ahead of me, think that's going to change your day? Yeah. If you get up and you think, how do I react to that idea of knowing that the judgment seat of Christ is maybe just a breath away? I'm going to please Him. I'm going to develop that longing for heaven. I'm going to, walk by faith daily wanting to please Him. Not depending on my sight, not depending on the things that are logical for me, but doing the things He's called me to do. The judgment seat of Christ is ahead of us, and I think we ought to use that to change tomorrow and to change the next day and the next day. Because how people see you and I looking forward to that day may change the way they see Jesus Christ in your life. So we look at it in the understanding, as that verse says, we're in a tent. It's going to be temporary. But there is so much more ahead of us. The day is coming when we will stand before Him. We will stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. And if we will keep that in view as a positive thing, how is it going to change your life? That's what we need to do every day. If we put that off, I don't like to think about my death. No, I'm not trying to be morbid, but I understand that that's going to take place at some point for all of us. But what I need to do is realize that one day I'm going to get to stand before Jesus. One day I'm going to get to fall at His feet. That should excite me to know that that is coming. That's something that He's guaranteed because of the Spirit that lives in me. And He's just asking me to walk by faith, to develop a longing to be with Him, to aim to please Him, and to keep in sight what I know is one day going to happen. That's what He calls us to do. Last verse, verse 11. Knowing all of this, therefore, the terror of the Lord. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. What He's talking about is the understanding of, and I've had a lot of people, we've talked about this several times, what does it mean, that terror of the Lord? What is that talking about? And it's that understanding of what's it going to be like when we stand before that judgment seat of Christ and the good and the bad in our life, is we're going to be judged for it. He says here, knowing that the terror of the Lord. You know what I think the terror of the Lord's going to be? And it's that understanding that everything about your character is going to be exposed before the King of Kings. Everything about me is going to be exposed. And if that didn't scare you to death, then maybe you're a lot better person than I am, because I know all the mistakes I have. I know. But it says that one day I'll appear and I'll receive what I deserve. The term receive is to get an equivalent or to get one's due. Ouch. I don't like that. But that's what it says. And that terror of the Lord is the fear of being exposed by Him. And that should cause us, as Paul says here, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We share Christ with people. We want to persuade them to understand who Christ is, because we are well known by God. And he goes on to say, and I trust that you understand why we're here sharing this with you. We need to make sure that we are out sharing Christ with people. Not just because one day we're going to stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. Not just because of the fact that when we stand there, it's going to be totally, our character is going to be totally exposed. But because of all of this in this chapter to this point is what He's given us. It's a promise. It's going to happen. Look forward to it. Because it's a blessing. Because there's only one other option besides the judgment seat of Christ. And praise Jesus, I'm not going to be there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for, Lord, just the blessings, the assurance, the guarantee that all is wrapped up in your love. We thank you for everything you do. May you lead us and guide us. Keep our eyes on you. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, teach us to love you more. Lord, set our hearts on fire. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.